Thank you, Lord. All right, Father, we just praise you, glorify you for this fellowship time together tonight, Lord. We ask that you lead us and guide us tonight and the things that you'd have us to talk about and the new revelations that will come forth. And Lord, we thank you that we do have an open heaven. We always have an open heaven because we believe, Lord, we're believers. We're not Christians. We are believers. And we praise you, Father, that everything that we pray for, everybody prays for here, Lord, happens because we all believe it. I know it's going to happen because your word says it. We go by your word. We thank you, Father, that the word is there for us. And we praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in us too, Lord, because we know that you're in us. And when you're in us, you're the vine and we're the branches. Everything that flows through you, Lord, flows through us. And we have everything available to us that we need to walk this gospel life on this earth, Lord. And we long for the day when we can be up there with you, Father, in the glory land. And we praise you for it, Father. We ask, Father, that your gifts be in operation tonight. That'd be awesome, Lord. And I thank you for the gifts because everybody here has access to all the gifts. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that's going to be accomplished in your name, because you're going to get the glory for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. No communication problems whatsoever for anybody in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that everybody's going to have electricity the whole time, and they're going to have internet the whole time, and they're going to have everything they need to get this meeting going and keep it going in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. No freezing up either. We command them distraction demons out of here in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests? Everybody prayed up. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just want to lift up all of our people outside this country for this prayer here, Lord. And I ask and I pray your provisions upon each and every one of them, that they would have every need met. And I praise you for it, Father. And anything that they pray for, Father, I ask and I pray that they be right there at them when they need them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in the Middle East and Africa, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing down in Australia and also Tasmania, which is part of Australia, I guess. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. We praise you for it. And thank you, Lord, that every one of your chosen ones in the United States, all over the world, Lord, know that they have an open heaven and that they can pray for anything that they need and know that it's going to happen. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for provisions for this fellowship, local fellowship, too, over and abundantly above anything that we can even think or imagine. And I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that we're going to be in the temple soon. I believe that, and I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, anybody else want to pray? I thank you, Lord, that Theo has what he's looking for here shortly, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. And Rion and Claire have what they're looking for here real soon. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. It won't be long till they be up here with us. All right. Anybody else want to pray? And Dirk and Paula would have everything that they need to do whatever it is that God's got them doing, Lord. And I thank you for it. My, Dirk. Good gracious. I'll tell you about this in a little bit. Go ahead, Theo.
Yeah, I did have a prayer request. I got word back at just after midnight this morning from my lead that I was to prepare a presentation on how to make a cake and how to plan an overseas trip. And that's what,
Whoa.
yeah. I don't know what this is. It's weird, right? I mean, I guess it's just part of corporate America and how things get done around here, you know. So yeah, I just wanted to pray, Lord, that you give me the wisdom to put together the best presentation on how to make a cake and plan a trip overseas. That this little hurdle is just one of those things that I got to trust you with and humble myself and do it for your glory, and that your name will be just lifted up through all of this. And I praise you for it, Father. And and a praise report too. I was notified today that my next week to Boston was canceled. So praise the Lord.
Praise
And
God. Thank
I
you,
get to
Lord.
be home for 2 weeks in a row. So
Whoa. That sounds like something special coming up.
that's huge. That's been a while since I've had that. So
Amen. Thank you,
pray
Father.
the Lord for that.
Thank you,
Amen. Glory
Lord.
to God.
All right. Well, you'll be with us tomorrow night then, glory to God. And next night, Friday night too, probably. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Samuel.
I got a testimony.
Okay.
So we're in a motel still. So we get scheduled room cleans, but we got to let them know when we want it. And I scheduled one for tomorrow, but David had a little mishap, so we needed some seats cleaned. And actually, they scheduled it for today already. So it's like God already knew before we even scheduled it that we needed it for today. And they actually set it for tomorrow, but it's all going to happen anyway. So praise God for that little small thing. God already knows the little things too. And I've been driving our car without any fuel in it for a while now. So it went below the E on the little needle that holds the thing. It can't go any further lower. And it was like, okay, it's going to conk out. Something's going to happen. But I was like, no, we're going to stay in faith. It's going to keep driving. Praise God. And it was like, I had a measurement of how much it runs till. So I know how many miles I get out of my fuel. And it went past all that. And it's been going for another 46 miles before it actually just said, okay, now. And I was in the safe area. I could just quickly pull over, no traffic. So it was perfectly timed. And I was like, right, great. Praise the Lord. An extra 46 for free. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Ooh, God's so good. God is so good. Hey, Isaac, Marietta, Megan, good to see y'all, girl.
Hello.
Hey, bud. All right. Anyone else got a prayer or testimony or praise report? Hey, Dirk, check the chat. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Testimony, praise report. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Isaac.
Well, hello, everybody.
What's
so, so I have a, it's an, I don't want to say a prayer request or a testimony yet, but it's an event that will be a testimony. That's how I'm going to phrase this, because I went through an event today, I said a prayer maybe 2 or 3 days ago that when Geneva came up, Geneva and Morgan's supposed to be up here today. They're on their way, I think. And they're staying with us from tonight until Sunday. And so I said, I pray, I said, Lord, let it be great weather. You know, just sunny weather. That way we can do a little bonfire, you know, all the good stuff. Go outside. And just randomly, I seen that there's a report. I don't even look for the weather, but I seen there was a report for like a monsoon coming our way. Well, I didn't think anything of it. I didn't think anything of it. I just said, well, Lord, I prayed my prayer. So today at work, I told some of the technicians, like, hey, I won't be in tomorrow. You know, guys, give you a heads up. They're like, you decided to take off on a monsoon? And this fella, I like him. He's a super hard worker, but he's a rough one. And he said, he goes, you decided to take off on a monsoon? He goes, it's going to be raining 3 or 4 inches. He goes, it's going to be a flood. I said, you know, I actually prayed about that. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be. I think it's going to be sunny. And he said, no, it won't. I said, well, I prayed, so I believe it will. And, you know, listen, I don't typically try to fight back. I'm holding on to my faith. You know what I mean? There's times I'm like, yeah, whatever. I don't need them to know what I believe. You know what I mean? I want to share it. I so bad want to share it sometimes. But you get what I'm saying. I need to say no more. Anyways. So, well, man, another guy came up to me today and he said, a nicer fellow. he goes, I told him I wouldn't be here. I guess he needed something. I really can't remember the circumstance. And he goes, oh man, it's going to be raining, you know, cats and dogs. I said, you know, I think it's not going to be. I think it's going to be awesome weather. And he goes, oh yeah, cool. All right. So end of the day, I'm about to leave. And the plant manager comes up to me, walks by, and he goes, Isaac, and it's kind of a big place, really. And it's not a small factory, but it's not a massive factory. It's like 500 people. But the plant manager goes, Isaac, he says, be careful going home. And I said, yeah, thanks, man. He goes, be careful. It's going to be raining the next few days. It's going to be terrible. And it hit me so fast when he said it. And I said, is it? You know, because believe it or not, I was actually using the restroom. He was talking to me. And so I said, you know, and he goes, yeah, it's supposed to give me all this whatever. And I said, you know, I think it's going to be sunny in Bethel. And he goes, yeah, I like your attitude. That's a positive attitude. And I said, yeah, I rebuke you. No, I didn't tell him I'd rebuke him. But I said, yeah, cool, man. So, you know, and I can't help but believe that my prayer, that my faith was tried and I can't help but believe all that was supposed to happen and that it is going to be sunny, because why else would I have been asked by 3 people, even the head, to where, to be honest with you guys, I know this is long-winded, bear with me. You know, that initial reflection of me when he asked me, granted, I was in using the restroom, he goes, yeah, it's going to be a monsoon. I said, is it? Listen, I felt it in my heart. Well, are you going to deny the Lord, Isaac? Are you going to deny him and your faith? And you can see how that can rise up. And I was, you know, in respect of men and all that. And that's why I was like, oh, no, I need to acknowledge the Lord. This is the time. And, you know, Isaac can be the worst of all of them. Isaac will deny Christ, but Christ won't deny Christ, right? And Christ liveth in me, and that's what I'm trying to say. And so I just thank God for giving me that extra oomph to help me confess him, because it's Christ. You know, it's Christ that liveth in me, and Christ knows what Christ looks like, and the Father knows what Christ looks like. And I thank God that he sees Christ in me. But that's all I wanted to say. But I'm saying all to say this, it's going to be sunny. So that's my event, why the testimony is going to happen. That's all.
Amen. I believe it. Yep. It's going to go all around you. All right, go ahead, Ben. What are you, Slodzigowskis? I think I just butchered
that. Very close. Very close.
I think I just slaughtered it.
I got a little, a small little testimony. I was talking to Karen last night. We've been trying to talk more about God together, just to have more of a relationship that's based off that. And I was going into it not worried or scared or anything, because I know it's the Lord that'll guide it. But she asks a lot of questions about the book of Revelation, and I'm not very well versed in that topic, but she was asking very interesting questions, like who the man child is going to be, because she never heard that term before she met me. Basically what I'm saying is that she's asking the right questions, like who's this man child, and then I'm bringing up like two witnesses, and she's like, who are these people? And I'm like, it's all in the book, but I don't really know like where to go off of. Like I also told her that David wrote another book, The Hidden Manna, for the end times, and I'm kind of looking at that one right now. But I just want to say that
the other book.
Oh, she's also reading a lot of the word woman and authority, and she's asking a lot of questions about that. And it's mostly just saying that, like, we prayed for her before to gain some insight on it. And, you know, that's just an answer to our prayer. She's finally asking the right questions, and she's finally looking the right way. She doesn't really look at, she never really looked at it as a religion, but now she's kind of delving deeper into it. And she just asks me a lot of questions about it, and I don't necessarily have a straight answer for her. I usually just say what I think, but I always say, like, I'm not going to put a bow on it because I can't really put scripture on it yet. But this is what I think. And I don't really want to, like, go off of what I think, but it's all, like, basically things that my dad taught me that I'm trying to bring into her, because she's never really been taught, I think, a lot about those end time stuff. Yeah, I know. It's not, she hasn't really been taught about those end time prophecy stuff. So I don't think she has a hard time spiritualizing and the words and seeing the past and bringing it to our times, like from Old Testament and like the Gospels. Because when I told her that the first 3.5 years was the Gospels, last 3.5 years are going to be the Acts, the book of Acts, that kind of just like took her back a little. She didn't know what I meant by that. And then I had to explain to her that history repeats itself and all that. So it's hard to gauge where she's at and kind of like help her move forward from there. So I would also like some prayer that she finds some insight with it, and that the Lord gives her a flush of knowledge just to help her move forward with this little bit of confusion that she has, because I can't do it. I know I can't. I did my best last night. But we talked about it for about 4 hours. So Lord God, I thank you so much for bringing Karen into my life, for giving me a sense of enlightenment and encouragement from her. Her meek and her gentle spirit definitely edifies your body, Lord, and her boldness to learn more ever edifies it more. I thank you for manifesting and glorifying yourself through her, Lord. And I'm just asking that you keep giving her this knowledge. And I'm asking my brethren for the same kind of faith that this will happen, and that she will grow more and mature more in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Go ahead, Claire. Wait a minute. Let's see. You want to pray for you and Karen? I'm sorry. I was trying to do two or three things at one time, and it's not working real good. You want us to pray for you and Karen?
It was mostly just for Karen, but if you want to pray for me as well, I'll take that.
It was what? It was what? I'm sorry.
I was mostly praying for Karen, but if you want to pray for me, you can go ahead.
Okay. Well, Lord, we thank you for bringing these two together. And we thank you, Father, for working in her life too, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that you're putting a deep hunger in her for the word of God. And we praise you for that, Father. And we ask that you give Benjamin great wisdom and understanding in the words to say that would help her. And we praise you for it, Father. And we ask that you place it in Benjamin and Karen to get together and study the word together. That would be awesome. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, to be able to look up the word when they need to and find out the answers. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Sounds like the Lord is grooming her for you or you for her. I don't know which.
He's doing something.
Yeah, sure he is. Go ahead, Julie.
I just had a question. And Ben, I can't remember. Is Karen spirit-filled?
I've never heard her speak in tongues. I haven't heard her speak in tongues. I don't. No. She's a disciple of Jesus.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's can be a real factor in why, you know, she's maybe not understanding a lot of things too. So, Father, I just I lift up Karen to you, Lord, and Ben, and just ask God that you would give them both patience with what they're doing, studying, and that you will open up Karen's eyes. I pray if she's not spirit-filled, Lord, that you get her baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you will show Ben as he leads, Lord, what materials they need to look at and study together and read together. And that they just take their time and that you'll open up the scriptures to her in the way that you do it, Father, so she can hear and receive. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Benita, did you want to pray?
Yeah, I was just going to say, well, it was funny you said that, Ben, because yesterday I was just talking to Frank. I'm like, have you ever heard of the eighth day in the book of Revelation? Or, you know, the end times? I'm like, why? What are you talking about? There's no eighth day in the Bible. I'm like, oh, yeah, there's an eighth day. No, he hasn't gotten there yet, but it's she's going to ask you about that next, Ben, so be prepared. But I also just wanted to say, I mean, when I started learning about the book of Revelation and everything, it was just, there were so many questions I had when I first came into UBM. And I just was like, I want to know this. I want to know that. I wanted to know it all right now. And I really learned that it took the Holy Spirit just building, like I would learn a little bit and then I would build on that, and then it would build on that. And I probably gone through Hidden Manna 4 times, and every time, you know, you just learn something new because you have a different foundation to build on. So it takes time and patience, and the Lord will reveal it. He just, you know, ask the question and he'll just give you the answer. It's just, you guys all know it. It's just amazing. I'd ask a question. I'm like, I just can't understand this at all. And then he would just bring the right teaching in or just give me the right verse. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's just right. That one verse, it's like 5 words and it answered that whole question. just did it over and over again for me. So Lord, we just pray that you would just give Ben and Karen the patience to let the Spirit work and reveal these truths that you have laid out in David's teachings and in the Bible. I mean, it's all there, Lord, and that you would just give them a yearning to just have the patience to go through it and learn it. And, I was just going to also say, Ben, I don't know, one of the hiccups when I was starting through there was just understanding, like, it was just coming from the Baptist side, their belief on who Israel is was so different than what the Bible teaches. And so that book, Beloved Spiritual Israel, was very helpful to me in framing, okay, we are Israel. It's not that Israel, the physical, it's us. And building off of that into hidden manna really helped me a lot. So hope that helps. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, Claire, go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to say thank you for all the prayers on Wednesday. It really did encourage me. I didn't really have a chance to chat to the lady, but I will tell you this, the Holy Spirit will blow where he will, right? And so we had one of these things that we have here in the town called a site barbecue once a month, just in the summer. So really only two of them a year. But we had one on Wednesday night, and so bizarre, not bizarre, only God. Earlier that day, Rian had an opportunity to share his faith with pretty much the whole of management. I can say this to you all because he's working, which is a rarity. They know where he stands on things, but he could actually, you know, give an account of why he does the things he does, which is really amazing. And then at the site barbecue, I got to talking with this lady, and she's like, there's something different with you. She's like, are you part of a local church? And I just started laughing because I thought, number one, where is there a local church where I live? And number two, no way, Jose. It's not going to happen. So I just laughed, and she's like, what? And I have faith. I believe in Jesus. I said, but my story is a little different. And she's like, tell me about it. Oh, and I was like, oh, I could try and make a long story short using Missy's term. And then it wasn't. It wasn't short at all. I think we spent maybe almost an hour. And I got to share like the most amazing stuff with her, just all the things that the Lord does and how he heals and how he provides. And she was amazed. She said she went to a Christian school. She shared with me, and she got to tell me things. She grew up with a mom believing in healing. And but she's turned away from the faith. And then she said to me, she's like, you've just really shaken me. She's like, you've really shaken me. And all I can think about is my childhood. So Lord, bring them in. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to confess before men. Thank you for the opportunity to speak of your goodness, Lord. We could do it all day. We could do it every day until eternity, and it wouldn't be enough to say all the wonderful things that you do. And we don't praise you enough, and we don't give you enough honor. But when you give us the opportunity to do it, Lord, I know the angels rejoice, and I know you sit there smiling because you can see your son. And Father, I pray that you would draw this family in, and that you would draw this lady in, and that you would reawaken the love for Jesus in her mom, and that you would restore what the years of the locust and the cankerworm have taken, and that you would pour out your blessing, and you would revive their hearts, Lord, and that they would seek you with reckless abandon, and that they would seek you till the end of their days, and that you would not hide yourself from them, Lord, but that you would incline your ear to the cries of your people, and that you would give them a heart for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord, for running these people across our paths where we can share the gospel with them. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Okay. What do y'all want to do now? You want to answer questions? All right. Question is, were the disciples born again before the resurrection or Pentecost? And I know everybody's got the answers. Who wants to go first? And this is actually just a learning thing here, okay? It's not that I know any more than anybody else. or anybody else doesn't know any more than anybody else. We all have a part of the puzzle. And that's what I'm looking for, is a part of the puzzle. Yeah, Andrew.
Can you repeat that question, Michael? Sorry, I'm in a daze here.
We command that brain fog off of Andrew in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. That's from that kind of the air, I guess. But anyway, the question is, Andrew, were the disciples born again before Christ's resurrection or the Pentecost, day of Pentecost? Which essentially is the same thing. And I know everybody's got the answer. Who's got the answer? Or a answer. An answer. Okay, first thing we need to establish, anybody can tell, anybody tell me what born again is? No, I ain't talking to you, Missy. Yeah, Dirk, go ahead, brother.
It's born from above.
Born from above, okay. That's part of it. But why? How are you born from above?
Scripture that came from my mind is Jesus said to his disciples, that they're already clean because of the words that he'd spoken to them. So by his words, they were washed.
Amen. Okay. Anybody else? The idea is it's good to see Dirk on here all the time. Come on, somebody. Benita. Get this new Christian up here. He'll tell me. Well, not you, Benita. I'm talking about Benjamin.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just going to say your spirit, your personal spirit is replaced with Christ's spirit, which gives you a new nature. So your old nature, your first Adam nature, is replaced with Christ's nature. So then that's how you're born again, because you're born from above with Christ's nature instead of your old nature.
Okay. All right. That's true. Yeah. Go ahead, Rayon. I'll get you. If Rayon gets, I'll get him, then I'll get yours, Missy.
I'll stop my lunch break now. That's okay. maybe what Jesus said. What does it mean to be born again first? Because I think we can get confused a lot, because there's a lot of modern Western Christianity talks about born again so much, right? Like, what does it actually mean? And I'll read from the Numeric, because Jesus explained this when he was talking to Nicodemus, right? And he explained what it means. There's a couple of things. So if we can find out what does it mean to be born again, we can maybe decipher when the disciples were actually born again. Yeah. So this is what Jesus said. He said to him, "Amen, I say unto thee, except one be born from above." So it's not born again, it's born from above. Right? That's the first one. "He cannot see the kingdom of God." So if you want to see the kingdom of God, you have to be born from above. Where's the kingdom of God? Well, the kingdom of God is at hand, is what Jesus said. So it's not just one day going to heaven. But then Nicodemus said to him, "Well, how can a man be born? How can a man be born being an old man? Can he enter a second time into the womb of his mother and be born?" Jesus answered and said, "Amen, amen, I say unto you, except one be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So there he expands a little bit more about what does it mean to be born from above. Is two things. You have to be born of water and of spirit. Because he says, what is born of the flesh is flesh, and what's born of the spirit is spirit. So marvel not that I say to you that you must be born from above. The spirit breathes where he wills, and you hear his voice, but know not where it comes from and where it goes. so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. So I thought about this, and when I thought of it myself, like from my own personal experience, if I can pinpoint a specific time where I was born again, and I can't, because I believe it's a process. I believe it's something that it's not in, I might have been able to do it when I was still in apostate church to say, yes, it's that one day I had that experience. I put my hand up and I went to the front, I did the altar call or whatever else it was. But the more I study about what it means to be born again, the more I realize that I can say I'm a new creation now and that I am born again and have been born again, but I can't pinpoint it to the exact same time, because for me to be born of the Spirit, I was baptized and then only received the Holy Spirit later. I think it's a process you went through. So a lot of people will say born again means it's when you believed. Well, the disciples' first mention of them believing was at the miracle in Cana, when Jesus turned the water into wine, and it says there they believed. Were they all born again then? Or were they all born again when they received the Holy Spirit only at Pentecost? Or, I think this is where I might be landing on, is that there was 11 of them at the end, and all 11 of them were born again through a process of being born of the Spirit, born of the water, throughout that whole time, before Jesus' resurrection, after their resurrection. Because they even baptized people. So I assume that they were baptized they must have been baptized by Jesus. It doesn't say that. It says they all went, they baptized more than what John the Baptist baptized. And then later it says, but Jesus didn't baptize, they baptized. So they must have been baptized, which means born of water. And Jesus breathed on them to receive his Spirit, and they received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. I don't know, for me, I think that whole process is to be born from above. So just like we are born again, yes, I can say now that I am born again now, but I am being born again as well as I am a new creature, and I'm becoming a new creature at the same time. So I don't know if we can put a specific or date where the disciples were born again, all 11 of them at the same time.
That's a piece of the puzzle right there. That's a good piece too. Thank you, Ryan. Sorry to call you Ryan.
Well, I'm not saying we can't. I'm saying I'd like to, if someone does, I'd like to hear that. I think in my studies, I've not been able to say, yep, that's when they got born again. That's what I was saying. Yes.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead, Missy. It's a process. You're right, Ria.
I think one of the pieces of that is Romans 8, 9, and 10.
Is what?
Romans chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. It kind of is, you could say, a follow-up on what Rian said. But if you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ is in you, actually, verse 9 basically says it all. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And there, you know, the Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit talks about being filled. If the Spirit of, if so that the Spirit of God dwells in you, that to me means being filled with the Spirit. But if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's born again spirit. Mm-hmm. I know that David said about the God grants repentance. You know, we don't come to the Lord. No one can come to me except the Father draw him. So our initial repentance and belief in the Lord, he gives us that faith to believe. And that's when we're born again. And in our spirit, we see the new spirit, the spirit of Jesus, the spirit of Christ. And then after that, he tells us to be filled with the spirit, which is the spirit of God that it's talking there in verse 9. And to be born again, like I agree with what Rion was saying, being born again. You're born again initially in your spirit, but then you're being born again in your soul from glory to glory. You're being transformed into the image of Christ, and that's being born again. You know, in your soul, it's from one degree to another degree of glory. So that's my understanding.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Missy. Go ahead, Samuel.
Well, I agree completely. Our perspectives through the Lord's revelation to us. What Graham was saying there was right on par, where it's a continual process. The Father calls out who he has, and then he chooses out of all those. Jesus said he chose, didn't I not tell you I chose you? So I refer to John chapter 6, verse 60, how he had said, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples murmured that at this, said unto them, doth this cause you to stumble? What then if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit that giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I have spoken unto you are Spirit and are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who it was that should betray him, and said, for this cause I have said unto you that no man can come unto me except it be given unto him of the Father. Upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Jesus said therefore unto the 12, would ye also go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we have believed and know that thou art the Holy One of God. Jesus answered, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is the devil? That's where he's referring to Jesus Iscariot. But what I'm getting at is he called us out. We answer in the call, being chosen for a new life, following the Lord, knowing he is, that's everything we want now. This is the life we want, not the old. And we recognize that, and we want that. We're drawn to do that. And it's just like how a seed will start bearing a tree will start bearing seeds ready to plant. And he plants that. That's how it's the vessels were planted. And then it starts to sprout and grow a new life. And just as a woman gets pregnant, the life's inside the woman, but it's yet to be born out in the process. And that's where Nicodemus was confused as to in the physical form, but it's all spiritual. That's a whole eternal life where to live and lead into. So recognition of Christ, he is life. That's the process. 5,000 fell away because they couldn't want that process of drawing into him. And that's where I think that's the way to born again. That's where the whole, that's it, where I feel like it's like a threshold. Yeah, it's a continual process, and we're all drawn in there. We don't want to fall away. We want to pursue you and manifest you 100-fold. And that's a continual growth and maturity to bear fruit, all for him and his glory. Thank you, Father. Please correct me if I'm wrong, Lord.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Andrew. Thank you, Samuel.
Yeah, so I like what Rion said there, and he said, amen, amen, I say unto thee, except one be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So he's got the water there and the Spirit, but we know that the same apostle talks about the water changing into wine. And we need that wine. We need the blood to be born again also. And so that you would have the blood, the three witnesses of 1 John, which is, there are three that bear witness in heaven, the spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. So later on, this water that they got, they understood at Pentecost when they were in the upper room there about the blood of the Lamb, and that they were full-fledged born again by the three amazing powers of what it says in 12:11 of Revelation, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And then there's power in the blood of the Lamb to attain through the water, because it's the living word, as many use the bread of God, which came down from heaven, giveth life unto the world. So the bread being the word, but it's also the water that changes to life, and the bread, which is the word, can give you life too, because that was one of the items that did convert you, that called you to be partaker of Christ's blood by the word, and of course by the Holy Spirit also, as it says in Acts 1:8, that he's going to give you power, the Holy Spirit, and you will witness for him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth. So you get power through this Holy Spirit also. And you get power in the word. In Luke chapter 1, verse 37, ASV, or the numeric one, for no word of God shall be void of power. So the power of God came down in three forms here to birth you, and to keep you, and to lead you. We need that overcoming power of God to bear fruit, as it says in 1 John chapter 5 and 3. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is your birth when you're called, but it's also bearing fruit in Christ. And all word will put you, by its power, will put you a little closer to bear more fruit and understanding for his glory. And glory to glory is progressive, which is the verse that everyone likes to quote, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And grace upon grace is instantaneous and progressive also, which is because of his fullness, we all received, past tense, grace upon grace. And of course, there's faith also, and salvation is instantaneous and progressive. The faith is in Romans 1 and 16 and 17, where it says faith unto faith to faith there. And of course, salvation is in Romans 13, 10 and 11, where it tells you that love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And now this knowing, awake out of your sleep, because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. So there's the verses of bearing, of a process of bearing fruit. But fruit also for faith is very much needed through the blessings of the Holy Spirit. And then it's also in the word, so there's power with that. And the word is part of his life, which is the blood. So, you know, there's the fruit of the Holy Spirit,
gifts of the Holy Spirit, and so many blessings of the Holy Spirit. A really good one to pray for is, and I know a lot of people try to want to find time to read the Bible. And the Lord will give you the time, because he wants to bless you with hunger and thirst after righteousness. And righteousness envelops a lot of things. It's your very existence. The righteous shall live by faith. And living is the word of God in action. And in him we live, move, and have our being. So this word, every little ounce of it, a little bit scary, because it's supposed to create you. And when God created stuff, I think maybe we're a little bit slow. He does repeat things to us, maybe even like he did to Samuel the boy 3 times when he was sleeping, and he had someone call him, and then he went to go see Eli twice. And then Eli said, okay, say, Lord, I'm here, talk to you. And so when God created things, he didn't have to speak it twice. I don't think that he had to say that about the world and that stuff in Genesis. So it's a little Holy Ghost spooky, I would say. And I just thank the Lord that he's so gracious and kind and caring for us, because there is so much to this word and so much power. You know, sometimes we forget that we're dealing with someone who's Almighty God. And he's, I the best I can say, very polite and wanting to give us more and more. And, well, praise God, because I'm a little spooked there. Good Holy Spirit. Ghost spoke to God, so the awe of the almightiness of our God, and we can call him Father.
Amen. That's the great part about it, Andrew. He's our Father. We can go to him just like our Father. What did God? All right, Benita.
Yeah, I just, I don't know, my experience, I don't know. I mean, I didn't grow up Christian, and so I wasn't Christian. And then I kind of fought against it and argued against it. And then one day I was Christian, and I know when that was. I remember waking up in the middle of the night, and it was just, I understood things that it's like I was, I could believe it. And I remember writing notes to my grandmother and my pastor, and just being so excited to understand finally. And I didn't receive the Holy Spirit for another 12 years, but I was born again. When I was born again. So I don't know. I mean, I know that there's, you know, you're born again, and then there's a sanctification process, and you're being born, you're growing, but there is a time when you're born from above, I should say, and that's separate from receiving the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit and then getting the power of the Holy Spirit, because that's Jesus's spirit that you're getting first before you receive the Holy Spirit. So I don't know, Rhiannon was saying there wasn't a specific time. For me, there was a time when I was born again, and then I grew, and then I received the Holy Spirit and continue to grow. Amen.
Well, that's the key, is continue to grow. Continue to bear fruit. If you just sit and say that, like a lot of people do, oh, I'm born again. Bless God, I was born again April the 5th, 1938. Oh, are you bearing the fruit of Christ? Go ahead, Pat. But thank you, Benita. You're exactly right.
Yeah, I wasn't, when Michael raised the question, I was total, I mean, I was blank at the time because I couldn't, well, whatever. I never really thought about it that much. So I asked the Lord about it today, this morning on my way into work, and he kind of took me to a few scriptures. But so I think, are we still on what is born again, or are we answering the question that we have?
We've gone a little bit above and beyond what the question was, but that's okay because it brings clarity. So yeah, just go ahead.
So a couple points. I know that I'll just say what I have ended up believing, and this is obviously from my experience, and then what I've been able to find in the Word. But I think what everybody is saying here is absolutely correct. I think the confusion comes in, and it was certainly in my mind when I was born again, because like Vanita, I wasn't raised in a religious family or the church or anything like that. So I kind of came in as a blank slate. But I was able to to clarify later on through the process. And the confusing part about it was that, so number one, I believe that you are born again, or a born above, from above, that it is your spirit that is born again. And that process is a transition or a birthing, if you will. I guess birthing is the greatest example. But you become aware of God. And I have to go back to like my seeking process. There was a point in time when my spirit, or I'll say my desires, were seeking for God and searching, you know, reading the Bible and everything, searching through the scripture. But in that process, I would have to say, as I look back on it now, I'd say that process was a process of His word having been planted in my heart, started to grow and nurture, and started to stir things up and stir thoughts and whatever. And through the process of time, my desire to seek God. And I have to say, even though I didn't even know I was seeking God at the time, I was such a unaware of that, unaware of myself, I guess, in that sense. And so I was searching and continuing to search through the scripture. And of course, that desire just increased and increased and continued to pull me towards God. And then there was a certain point in time when I hit a particular verse in scripture, and it was like a light went off, and I became aware of what I did not know. And so that was the birthing process in process. And I think the actual birth was when I, having seen that word, that verse, I piled out of bed in such an amazement, like I found something, and I prayed and I asked the Lord to take me to the Father, which I would have to say, if you were to take that experience into the established system, they would probably think, well, I don't think you quite caught the deal here. This, you need to go through this Romans road scenario or whatever and take you through a process. But the essence of it was, at least I speak for myself, I became aware of God's word specifically related to Jesus and who he was. And then I responded. And that response was carried out through my body in some form or a verbalization or however you want to say it. It made it from my spirit through my soul as I become aware and understood something, and it happened in a confession of some sort or a prayer. Now that didn't clear up anything as far as any of, it only clarified one question in my mind, who Jesus was, and it wasn't until sometime later that I realized that the craving desire to find God was gone. And again, because of my ignorance, I thought I screwed something up, or, you know, I thought I made God mad or whatever, because I didn't understand what peace with God was at the time. And so, but that was my point in time when I was born again. And then the Lord, of course, led me out of that process and led me into the system where I could, you know, learn some things, basically. But as I went to driving to work today, and I was talking to the Lord about it, and I intended to, like, share on something, you know, just speak on something completely different, but he took me to the example of the thieves on the cross with Jesus. And so just to go back, not as a tangent, but just to go back for a second. So when the Lord took me into the church, and then of course I went through the whole process of, you know, how do you get saved and this and that and whatever, there was a certain amount of confusion that came up, because I thought at the time, well, I must not have been saved. I must not have been born again. Maybe you have to do it this way. This is the way you have to do it, etc. So it took me a couple years, I'm going to say, to kind of shake that and to start to understand what had actually happened, that salvation or born again happens in the spirit. And then, because nothing can happen in the soul, in our soul, that doesn't first happen in the spirit. And so then, as we walk with the Lord, a lot of the things that have been spoken about here tonight take place in that but it's all the same way that it takes place, in that we, as we continue to walk, we become aware of certain aspects of God's word, and we believe it in the spirit, And then we start to walk it out in the soul. And that walking out process in the soul is what convinces the soul and unites that soul with the spirit so that it can be one with the spirit of Christ and the spirit of the word. And it becomes born again in that particular aspect of our awareness in the soul. But anyway, so it, to me, it kind of cleared it up as I was reading in about Jesus and the two thieves that he was with. Now, when he was crucified, both of the robbers, the thieves next to him, in Matthew 27, in the harmonies, you can see the various different stories about that same event. But in Matthew 27, it gives an account of the robbers, and it said, and the soldiers and whatnot were mocking Jesus and whatnot. He said, he trusts on God. Let him deliver him now if he desires him, for he said, I am the Son of God. And the robbers, this was both thieves, also that were crucified, cast upon him the same reproach. So both thieves were hassling, mocking Jesus at the time. But at some time during that crucifixion process, one of the robbers repented, had a change in his spirit. And he said, in Luke 23:39, the story goes, and one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, do you not fear God, seeing that you are in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we received due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. Now, something happened in that man. He became aware of who Jesus was. And then in that awareness, he said to Jesus, Lord, Lord being a key word there, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now, and then and Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And that thief on the cross couldn't do any mighty works. He didn't have time to testify to whoever, although if we think about it for a moment, his very words have testified to every Christian from that time to this time of the miraculous work that God did in his heart while he was dying, in the process of dying. He didn't have time to do anything, but what he did do in his spirit, he responded to Jesus at that time. And I believe he was born again. And Jesus said, truly, and this was the Jesus that was not resurrected. It was the Jesus that was not, it was prior to Pentecost. Jesus said to him, today, you will be with me in paradise. So, I'll just go ahead and I believe that the disciples prior to Jesus' death, prior to his resurrection, prior to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the giving of the Spirit, I believe that they were born again. This is my own personal belief now. I believe they were born again because we are not born again by an act. We're born again by believing, by faith, by believing. And that believing will always produce some form of an act through the soul and through the body, I believe. But the essence of that born again is that we believe. We have believed by faith. Our spirit has believed. And it goes from there to the believing, the saving of the soul, that process after that. So that's what I believe. Anyway, I toss it out. And if anybody sees something different, I'm open for any type of correction as well. Praise the Lord.
Okay. What everybody said is true. But the question is, were the disciples, the 12 disciples, born again before Pentecost? That's the question. I understand that we're all saved by grace and all of that, and everything that y'all said is true. But you have to remember one thing, and I'm going to throw this out as a rule of thumb. Were they in the first covenant or were they in the second covenant? I'm just asking. Go ahead, Isaac.
Well, Michael, you may have thrown a wrench in my gear right now, but let me try anyways. But I was thinking where you're going along, because to Pentecost, because we, you know, we need the Holy Spirit, you know. Now, to answer your question, I was going to say yes. Okay. So to answer it, but we need the Holy Spirit to grow us into what measure, or 60 or 100 fold, right? Because many people get 30 fold. Then they get the Holy Spirit. Yep. And the Holy Spirit, you know, increases Christ in them, helps them to grow in Christ, 60 and 100. But Jesus, John 1:14, in the beginning was the Word. And that's John 1:1. John 1:14 is, and the Word dwelt among them because Jesus is the Word. Now, I totally butchered that, but hang with me. You know what I mean. So anyways, they walk with the Word, right? And I want to read a little something to you. So I'm gonna hang with yes. Doesn't mean I'm even convinced in it though. That's okay. You know, this is how I grow. So John 19:23, and Jesus said unto his disciples, "Verily I say unto you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God." And when the disciples heard it, they were astonished exceedingly, saying, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, said to them, "With men this is impossible, with God all things are possible." Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And then what then shall we have?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye who have followed me in the regeneration." Now, if you look at the definition, regeneration is more like progressive, actually. I looked it up too, and I've seen some Bible scholars say it's instantaneous, but if you look at the definition of regeneration, it's not. It's a continual process. But anyways, in the regeneration, which goes on talking about the Holy Spirit in 1600 fold, right? But still sticking with my yes, they're saved because it works, walked the Word. Granted, they were in the old covenant, which is the point Pat was making about that guy who the thief that was on the cross went to paradise. So I don't know how to, I've thought about that. I don't know how to, I'm going to keep moving on. Bear with me. So it says, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on his throne of his glory,
Ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Everyone that hath left houses or brethren or sisters or fathers or mother or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold. Now that 100-fold there also goes in with regeneration in that same verse, progressively, right? But here's what I want to read too. And it's not, so, this is not about, this ain't about progressive. This is about, what Jesus said of them in John 17, which I love John 17. And it said, I have given them thy word. Well, yeah, Jesus was the word. I have given them thy word. And the world hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So they're born from above. So I'm going to go with the 30-fold. That's what I'm going to go with. Totally open for correction. I pray not that thou shouldest take them from the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. Well, they did walk the word. As thou didst send me into the world, even so I send them. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. And neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through their word. Because Jesus was the word. And I was thinking about that. You know, Jesus often said to the disciples, but who do you say I am? And that was a confession of salvation. But often you see the multitudes, oh, he's a prophet. Oh, no, he's the Christ. And I, man, hang with me. I'm not even saying I'm right. I'm just throwing out a possible theory. Even the multitudes would be like, oh, he's a prophet or he's a Christ. And that, and every man that should call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it was their opportunity to call on him as the Christ and be saved. So I don't know, but that's just a food for thought. Okay, guys, thank you.
All right, that's some good thought too. Go ahead, Julie.
Hi, everybody. In answering your question, Michael says, were the disciples born again before Christ's resurrection? Pentecost came, what, like 10 days later, give or take, something like that. But the thought was coming to me was, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And then what we were talking earlier about being, you know, continuing in the faith, you know, in our walk and our growth and all that, because a lot of people fall away and a lot of people are just nominal Christians and a lot of people just, you know, have religion and all kinds of stuff. But then what was coming to me as Pat was talking, where Jesus said in John 11, with Lazarus, when they're talking about Lazarus and, you know, he died. But Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this? And I believe that the disciples were born again before his death and resurrection. And then, you know, I believe they had the Holy Spirit with them. They hadn't received the gift of the Holy Spirit yet, as far as because Jesus had to die and then send the Holy Spirit to them. Because he said, I will, you know, it's good for me. You know, you don't realize it, but it's good that I go back to the Father. Because if I don't go, then I won't. I mean, then you cannot receive the comfort. You won't receive the Holy Spirit. So he had to do that. But I think that they were all. Even Judas, I believe, was born again because he had to have ears to hear. He had to follow them. I'm guessing that and believing that he probably was, but he fell away because he didn't want to continue in faith. You know, he didn't want to, I don't know, he didn't overcome his flesh, whatever he was being used as type and shadow to. But so I believe that the disciples were born again and, before the resurrection, before Pentecost. Because Jesus is the resurrection. I believe the Lord gave him that understanding. Amen. That's all I can.
Okay. Well, can I throw another monkey wrench out there? Let me throw something. Let me throw something else out there before Angelica comes on. if you remember, the disciples always thought that Jesus came to defeat the Romans and throw them out of the country. That's by sight. That's by feelings. That's by flesh. They didn't really come into the knowledge of the substitutionary Christ who was substituted for our sins until when? I'll just throw it out there. Go ahead,
Angela. Until they got the Holy Spirit, until they got the Holy Spirit, and they got their eyes open, and they were able to see more.
Okay. That's a good answer. Go ahead, Angelica. As she races across.
Oh, sorry. The room. yeah, just a couple of things that I don't think it's like a complete answer or anything, but what the scripture that comes to my mind is, you know, the word is spirit and it's life, and you have not life in yourselves. And so the moment, of course, the Jews were expecting their Messiah. So those that had the belief already with that expectation, when they, you know, the Father revealed it to them that Jesus was the Messiah at that moment, they were born again because they believed the word, which is God, which was God, which is Christ, that word was planted in their hearts. And so they just like a seed, that's where conception begins. And that's just kind of my own little thought.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Benita.
Just one more thing. Just kind of adding to what Angelica said, you know, when Jesus came to them and he said, follow me, and they dropped everything and followed him. And to me, that feels like that's when they were born again. Now, they might not have gotten the revelation that you're talking about, that depth of it, until the Holy Spirit came, but they did follow him then.
Amen. So. Anybody else? Yes, Julie.
Gotta find it here. This in John 16. He's just talking about like when he was going to send them the Holy Spirit. It is expedient that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he is come, will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And
we're not understanding you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I was mumbling. In John 16. Or just what he was saying, you know, talking about how he was going to go and it was expedient that he go, because if he didn't go, then he wouldn't send the Holy Spirit. And then John 16 and 12, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And howbeit when he come, the Spirit of truth come, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak from himself, but with things soever he shall hear, these things shall he speak, and he shall declare unto you the things that are to come. I was just thinking right now, what was coming to me is, how many times did Jesus tell his disciples throughout the different gospels that he was going to be crucified, that he was going to Jerusalem, and that he was going to be killed and mocked, and all these things were going to happen to him? But there were so many times the disciples, their eyes were blind to that. Their hearing, they didn't understand it. They didn't have that understanding about what he was saying. This is why I'm here. This is what's going to happen to me. But they were unable to receive it because their ears, God hadn't opened up their understanding to the things that the Christ, the Lord, was trying to tell them about why he was there and what he was coming to, why, you know, what was going to happen to him, and if these things had to be fulfilled and all that. And it wasn't until Pentecost and all these things that their eyes were open to the truth, where he revealed himself to them. There's all kinds of things that happen after they receive the Holy Spirit, which we know is, you know, he's the one who gives us the revelations of stuff. So I guess I don't understand now. Now I'm confused a little bit about, well, I'm not confused, but what your question is, were they born again? Because I think we differentiated that there is a difference between being born again and getting the Holy Spirit and the timing of that. So I think, yes, they were definitely born again.
Okay.
Before.
Okay. There's, well, let's see what Pat has to say.
So, well, generally, I have to stick with my comments related to being born again of the Spirit and then progressively born again of the soul. And I think what Julie's saying there as well related to becoming aware of the disciples could not, you know, Jesus said, I can't remember the exact scripture, but he said, I have many things to tell you, but you can't receive them now. And I think, and I believe it was because they needed the Holy Spirit to be in them and give so that they would have the ability to perceive from God's perspective, from God's Spirit perspective, the things that they were now seeing in the world. And likewise in the scripture, not being able to, I know that I now, you know, read the Psalms and read the scripture, and I see the scripture through a different perspective than I did when I was first born again. Simply because I was in a paradigm and coming out and through a paradigm that looked through a lens of God's word and said, it's this inside this box, that's true. Outside the box here, you know, it's not true. You have to look at it just the way it is here. And I believe it's that, with God's perspective through His Spirit, are you able to see the whole scripture. It becomes more and more, you're more and more aware of it. That being the case, though, I personally believe that is connected, that you receive the Holy Spirit not to be born again or born from above, but that your soul that your spirit will have the necessary awareness and power, empowerment to overcome that soul and bring it through the born again process. I don't know if that makes sense or not. I hope I'm not twisting anything there, but, and again, I think it's a bit confusing because the established religious system of today, they only have, for the most part, I'm going to say totally, but they generally have one perspective, and that's coming from the soul level. And so therefore, born again from that perspective means one thing. You you know, it's either repentance on a bench in front and tears and crying, or I'm going to become a missionary or whatever the thing is. There's always got to be something that we can view on the outside that really, you know, makes the point that this person has really become a Christian. And it's coming from that perspective, and the things of the Spirit, the born again of the Spirit, is something that happens that you can't see. It's something that happens that is not seen. You know, God looks on the heart, man looks on the outside. So I guess I'm just thinking, I know that they received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, which brings up, you know, a verse in John 20:22 that I'm not quite sure what the connection is there and how, where Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This was obviously before everything. I still haven't figured that one out yet, but nevertheless, I think that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and everything came as a for the purpose of the empowerment, the born againness of the soul, etc. Also, I just want to make one point, and that is, we in this time frame, in that time frame of Jesus, the crucifixion, Acts, was a bit of a transition from an old covenant relationship to a new covenant relationship. And some of these things were happening in the midst of the transition. So, you know, that could stir up a few other different questions as to, you know, how we treat that or whatever. But anyway, I'll quit mumbling.
Well, while you just got through with that, I'd like to ask this question. Was Jesus, did he die for our sins? And was he a substitution at his resurrection? When he rose? That's just something else to throw in there. In other words, when was the Spirit of Christ released? And then when did the disciples understand that they were born again? Go ahead, Simon.
What came to me, and perhaps I agree with you, that's on point. When the shepherd left, they were all scattered. And they only knew in the physical what their eyes could see. So they didn't know, but their hearts, they were burning for that love and the truth. They were drawn, but they weren't sure what to do. They were pursuing him, but it took him and his resurrection to just draw them in deeper to be unified, pursuing him in the upper rooms.
Yep.
They were brought into the total process. So it was like a complete works that kept going through for that full manifestation, that they were in one accord, all of them. That means they were 100-fold. They were actually, as Christ wanted it to happen, the manifestation of the Lord's will. They weren't in a carnality. They weren't, "Oh, I'm not going to be a fisherman anymore. I want to have this." They knew what to do in the physical. It was manifest into the physical, into the bodily. It wasn't just something that was in their heart. It came out. It blossomed. This is all amalgamation of his process, his great works to just come forth. I just wanted to reiterate that that's what I felt. This is definitely a process, a continual process. Praise God.
Amen. What happened when the disciples was telling Thomas about Jesus? Huh? He said, "I don't believe that. I ain't going to believe until I see the holes in his hands and the holes in his feet and a hole in his side. And what Jesus tell him, Thomas, come here, I want you to look at something, boy. This is after. He said, reach hither thy finger and see my hands, and reach hither thy hand and put it into my side. He didn't believe. And be not faithless, but believe. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, because thou hast seen me. Everything that they'd seen Jesus do, they had seen with their eyes. They had experienced it, spiritually speaking. Everything they saw was not by faith. They saw it with their eyes, and they saw him do these things. And that's another part of the problem. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, he told them to tarry for 10 days.
Yeah.
At the end of that 10 days, Thomas got his blessing too.
Yep.
He would believe without seeing. And I can't remember exactly how it stated there. That's one of the blessings you do get. Everyone gets that blessing. And all the great commissions at the end of every chapter, you see that he sends them out. And one of them, I can't remember whether it's Luke or Matthew, he opens the word to them. And that means it's been put in them. And they can discern now the spirit of the word. And as he opened the word to them, and he told them what to do the Great Commission. And of course, we got some examples there of the jailer died there, where the apostles were put in jail and lifted. He asked them, what must I do to be saved? And then they said, well, believe in Jesus. You know, and I'm sure they talked a little bit more when they were having dinner at his house, but it's right there where I believe those apostles received the what is called the full gospel. And people, when they got saved back then, it was like Mark's Great Commission. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they had these signs of casting out demons and speaking in tongues. And if they drink anything odd, or if they take up serpents, it shall not harm them. And they lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And this is something that was more prevalent. And this is something that we should all have, because it's the Great Commission. And God creates us that way. And I think sometimes we have a problem that we don't. He has to be patient with us and do it more than once. And I don't know why it's that way. I it shouldn't. You know, you got to cast down that reason. It's not the right reasoning. That's not what he said. Okay, so I'm correcting myself as I'm going along here. But I'm just illustrating sometimes a man's psyche or problem when he goes through something. And then he might even fail, and then he's got to go before God and say, I did it again, you know? And it's not that he doesn't understand us anyway. So I just look at it as a comparison, because this is why I believe it's a process of progress for us. But, I'm going to have to say that the apostles before Pentecost were born again in a different way. They were born again, I think, under the rule of Jesus, because they had the Spirit and they had Word, but they always did question things. They needed that sacrifice of the blood. And they needed that Holy Spirit filling so that it would never leave them again, like it could be replenished, as it says in Acts 2 and then Acts 4 again. But they came into that fullness after the 10 days when they received the Holy Spirit. They got realization, and Jesus opened the word to them when he visited them after that too. And they went on to be the fine people that we all love, 120 in the upper room. And we want to be like them. And we are like them. That's all I have. I'm claiming it. We are like them because we are, because that's the creative word. And just ask your father. And you know what I'm saying is right.
All right, Missy, go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to tell you the experience that I had about this yesterday. I was sitting and reading in John 15. I don't know if there was something that I read that prompted me. I just know that it was, I know it was the Lord that all of a sudden popped into my mind this question. You know, it was the Lord reminding me about Michael's question. And so I stopped a second and I was like, okay, you know, when were the disciples born again? And I just, that's all I can remember of Michael's question. And all of a sudden, I think the first thing that came to my mind, but right after that, a flood of all these different scriptures came to me. But I had to go and look and see where it was because I didn't know where it was. And I didn't remember it verbatim, but what came to me was Jesus, when he was resurrected and, that, you know, he said not to touch me, go and tell my brethren, my brothers, that I have risen. And I knew it was when he was resurrected, was when they were born again. Because and I went and I found in John 20:17, Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto the Father, but go unto my brethren. He was calling them brothers for the first time. His disciples specifically, I believe that was the first time he called them brothers. And say to them, why? Why did he call them brothers? I ascend unto my Father and your Father and my God and your God. And all these, I mean, like what I already, it was like such a revelation to me. The Lord was lining up all these different scriptures and shown me things because of things that I was taught and Merle was taught, and he still believes that, you know, Jesus only oneness, and not understanding that, you know, because, you know, their thought, his thought is that we're born again when Jesus said, he breathed on them. And that was because they think that when you're born again, you automatically receive the Spirit of God. And maybe some do, but that's not a really a true thing, because it explains there in Romans 8 what I said about, you know, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit of, you know, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. And he said, you know, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, you know, so it's showing the difference there. But I was like, wow. I was just like blown away that the Lord just like, whew. I mean, he just started showing me, and I can't, you know, just reminded me and he reminded me of there in Ezekiel chapter 36, where it says, I'll give you a new heart, but not just a new heart, a new spirit, and I'll fill you with my spirit. That's showing the same thing as it does there in Romans 8 verse 9. But it was just like, you know, the Lord says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Therefore, the Son set you free. You shall be free indeed. And it was, you know, such a revelation to me when the Lord just brought that to me, because it was like the truth, like, really set me free. It was like, there's a lot of stuff here, but when he really gave me the revelation, it was here. And I just felt like I was just like so freed up. When I got that revelation, it was a lot of, like I said, it was a lot of things coming to me that the Lord was showing me. There was breaking down all these things, even though I didn't believe them anymore. There's other scriptures I can't think of right now. There were so many different scriptures that the Lord brought to me that qualifies this. I'm trying to remember what else there was, but it was just like, it was like so awesome. Oh, Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren, right? We were crucified with him and we were raised with him. He was the firstborn from the dead and he was the firstborn of creation. It talks about that in Colossians. And it says, if you were raised with Christ, it talks about in the beginning of Colossians 3, if you were raised with Christ, seek the things which are above. When you were raised with him, and Michael mentioned about the new covenant, you know, they were in the old covenant, but the new covenant started because Jesus was the Passover lamb. He was the one sacrifice, once and for all, you know. And so when he was crucified and resurrected, that was the beginning of the new covenant. And that was when we were all born again, even from the foundation of the world, because he was crucified from the foundation of the world. Everything, you know, I get excited when I get on this subject of how everything, God already did everything. And he's just sitting back and just, it's all playing out now. He sees the end from the beginning. And it you know, because with God, there is no time. He doesn't dwell in time. But anyway, it's just, there was just like so many things, like I said, verses just coming at me. The Lord was showing me. And I was like, wow. And I was so excited. I was so full of joy. I had to text Michael and give him my answer. And I had to talk to him then about it. And, but it was so awesome. And I, you know, and it's, I was just so praising and thanking the Lord for giving me, showing that to me, because it was truly a gift. It was a gift. And it's so humbling. And And I truly prayed that the Lord would give each and every one of you that revelation too.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Everybody was right.
Right.
Everybody was right. But actually, I just threw that out there to get a good discussion, and it happened. So praise God. Thanks, God. It's a moot point, actually, because they're all saved now. But I believe the Lord called them clean 2 or 3 times. He called all of them clean. He said, "You're clean." And I believe what he meant by that is, because of what you're doing with me, you're following me and you're doing the things that I've asked you to do. You know, you're clean. And I believe, in just my humble opinion, I believe that the true, when they really knew that they were born, when they knew that they were born again, was when Paul came with the revelations. That's when they knew. They didn't know anything until Paul came out with the revelation of the born again in the epistles. Because the epistles tells about who you are in Christ, what you are in Christ. And they didn't understand that. Even, you know, they even told him, he said, because you don't understand, I can't tell you these things. But anyway, they were clean. Jesus called them clean, which means that they were going to come in. I believe that with all my heart. But there was doubt and unbelief as to who Jesus was. They thought he was the Savior coming in to run out the Romans for most of his walk. They asked him out a couple of times. He said, "What you going to do? You going to run that bunch out?" Yeah, Pat.
So, Michael, because they didn't, are you saying that because they didn't understand the specifics of what born again was, that they weren't born again because of that?
No, okay. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is they didn't understand their born again status entirely until Paul came out with the revelation of that Jesus was a substitutionary against sin and all of that stuff. You understand?
Yep, understood. I agree.
And the resurrection, you know, and what that meant. Yeah, I believe they were all born again in the simple sense only. They didn't entirely understand it until Paul came out and told them about it, who they were. Jesus couldn't tell them. They couldn't handle it. He tried to, but they couldn't handle it. Go ahead, Pat.
So I was just going to say, and likewise, the majority of Christendom today doesn't understand.
Bingo.
Understand that. And God is bringing it back or bringing it out. Isn't that scripture that Paul said that basically there's coming a day when they will believe what I'm saying now?
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact scripture, but that's
what the church today. You're exactly right, Pat. The church today has a fleshly knowledge of Jesus Christ. They don't have a spiritual knowledge of who they are in Christ. If you don't believe me, just go in there and sit and watch. In a church, any church, just pick one. Well, they might get up and scream and holler and run around the church a little bit, but what happens during the week? But that's why the Lord is bringing this tribulation on, is to shake them out of those places and bring them in. That's why we're here. We are to be the disciples for them. Did y'all think this was a good topic? Amen. Yeah, Joe.
Can I add just something? There's a lot of questions, but I would say we'll talk about when a woman receives the seed of a man, she's good pregnant. When a child actually gives birth, a child is born. So in other words, he starts his new life. But that life doesn't mean nothing except when he understands what he's been formed, what's been Christ for, how Christ is forming you, but how you growing in Christ. But actually born again is not just a new life. You actually understand why you're getting a new life, what's your purpose, what's your goal forward. That's all I want to add. Thanks.
That's a great analogy. How many people think they're born again and in the same steps that they were in 40 years ago? Not bearing any fruit whatsoever. What fruit? What? Yeah, man. I put $10 in the bank, in the bucket yesterday. For goodness sake, what are you talking about? I'm bearing all kinds of fruit, man. That preacher getting rich off me. And that's the way they believe, you know. They believe that if they do what that man up there in that pulpit, rather than what that word of God says, that they're okay. And that's why God's going to shake them. I enjoyed it tonight. I heard so good, so much good stuff coming out tonight. It was awesome. So praise God. Maybe we can find another question. Is everybody satisfied with the answers that y'all gave? I am. I think everybody hit it right on the nail head, except for Andrew.
I didn't think it was going to go for the whole 2 hours here. You know, I was going, oh, man, they're just going to talk basic about it, you know, and I was going, oh, no, you know, like they're just going to go into this so lightly, you know. But it went for the whole night.
We could probably go for another hour if we had it, but we don't, so forget it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, the only reason I picked that subject is to get everybody involved in it, and it happened. Praise God. It was good. I enjoyed it. But okay, Father God, we just thank you so much for we don't have to worry about whether they were saved or not when you went to on Pentecost, Lord, all we got to worry about is ourselves, our salvation, and we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're bringing us along, and we do understand a lot more than they did at that time. And Father, we know that we're held to a higher standard. And Father, just forgive us of all our sins, and get us ready for this great happening. It's fixing to happen. Passover. I believe it. David and I are talking about this. Passover is going to be next. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for Psalms 91. Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, Isaac, go ahead, brother.
Well, I would love to. Just real quick. So remember that testimony about the event of the testimony about the rain? We were talking about this subject when it started raining in the house. Man, I didn't even, it just happened to me. I said, nope. I said, I rebuke you. I said, no, I've prayed. I believe rain go. I said, that is all there is to it. And it lightened up and then it came back. You know what I would normally do in a situation? If it wasn't raining, I'd be just listening and not worried about it. Just resting, listening to what you guys are saying. So that's why I continue to do it. I just praise the Lord. And you know what? It's not even raining. It's totally nothing. Not a thing. Hey, praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for doing it.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that you do hear our prayers. You understand. And you help us get the glory to you, Lord, because when Isaac goes back to work, they're going to say, man, it did not rain like I thought it would, like he said it would. What you said was true. What happened? Then Isaac will say, well, let me tell you about my Jesus. That's a door opening. Dirk, I saw a big building for you. This story. Praise God. Amen. Y'all be blessed, you hear? Love y'all. You got to love me back. That's God said.
You can stop the recording?
Huh?
You're still recording?
Yeah.